Hour number two of Riddle and the Reporter, Junie Riddle, Nick Keyser, and Connor Newt behind the glass, pressing the ones and twos. Hour number two, we are going to get into the Preds Rookie Showcase. Is that what it's called?
Yeah, it's called the Southeast Rookie Showcase. Look, none of this Nobody means
else
a
is
whole
talking
much.
About this. We're talking about this because you are our hockey façon.
Yes.
You know the game in and out. And again, if you looked at the crowd, there may have been 20 people there. But guess what? Guess what? The reporter was tuning in.
Yes.
And he was watching everything.
Yes.
And that, my friend, is dedication to the craft. I got mad respect for us. But Riddle and Reporter here live from the Hiller Plumbing, Heating, Cooling, and Electrical Studios. You can watch the streaming live on Twitch, Twitter, YouTube, and Facebook live every day. Our video streaming is brought to you by Superbook. Download their app and use the promo code THEGAME. All right, Nick, your takeaways from the Rookie Southeast Showcase.
Yeah, so the first game, they just got done a couple hours ago for the most part because we've been on the air now for over an hour. And so the Preds' first game of the showcase was against the Tampa Bay Lightning, and it looked good overall. Like I said, these games don't mean a whole lot. Carl Taylor met with us yesterday after practice and just said, I think the biggest takeaway for me hearing him was we're looking for the guys to play our system. Whatever Coach Bruno is what he said, Andrew Brunette, the new head coach of the Preds, he wants to establish and instill everything he would like to see these rookies getting used to when the time comes for them to play at the NHL, if it is with the Predators. So on that note, the Preds lost 4-3 in the first showcase game. They will play the Florida Panthers tomorrow and will play the Hurricanes on Monday. And so yesterday as well, we got to talk with Yaroslav Askarov, who is perhaps the hottest topic in terms of prospects for the Nashville Predators, aside from some of the draft picks that we've seen from this past summer, back in July. And so for me, it was good to hear from Askarov. We got more of his personality. That's what you'll hear here in just a second. But even in the showcase this afternoon, watching it before we came on the air, Askarov looks comfortable. He's moving smooth. He's anticipating the plays in the right place at the right time before he's even seeing where the puck will end up. He knows, for the most part, okay, it's going to go cross crease, shot's coming. He lays down his pad and just stretches out and sprawls. He even did a windmill earlier.
And now explain to the listener, what is a windmill? Because when I think of windmill, I think of
it's sort of
rounding it out and
yes,
slam dunking
it. It's sort of like an acrobatic move. So it was weird for him to even do this, but the puck was rolling after it hit his blocker and it went up in the air.
Uh-huh.
And so he sort of has to balance and kind of sprawl so the puck doesn't go behind him. So he kind of has a controlled fall, and then he rolls himself over and pushes, like his legs come up, like he kicks himself up and both of his legs come up top over his head, and like he's trying to keep the puck out of the net because it's up in the air still, so he's trying to get it away or be on it.
That sounds like a soccer bicycle kick,
yeah,
but for a goal,
yeah,
save.
So he was trying to be on top of the puck as best as possible. He's a little dramatic, I feel like, at times in that blue paint that's there. But I do appreciate his enthusiasm, and here's a glimpse of his personality yesterday when we met with the media and got to know him a little bit more.
I think so. Sometimes people will love you, sometimes people will hate you, and it's normal. It's just life. You need to be you, and that's what I think. Sometimes people will hate you. It's normal too. Nobody, probably just only one guy, Keanu Reeves. Everyone loved him. It's only just a couple guys in the whole world who don't have haters. Usually everyone have haters, and it's normal.
Right, so that was Yaroslav Askarov yesterday. The reason I want to play that is because he is unforgiving with his behavior, and I love it because as someone that is coming in the league and has developed himself into the prospect that he is, he does need to be himself. He doesn't care who's for him or against him. Needless to say, he's a Russian goaltender that's come over and battled the odds of what it's like to go through that. After he got drafted, he was playing in what their version of the NHL is, the KHL, the Continental Hockey League, And they weren't playing him very much, Junie, because they knew that he was going to leave. And they didn't want to help develop him before he came over to play with the Milwaukee Admirals. Mm-hmm. So all of last year, he's making these big moves. He's bench pressing, you know, the net after a big win. He's flipping the net over
he's
after his first
shutout.
Goalie
fights.
Yes, he is going off last year. And that's what he has to say about himself. And I love that about him because when you have that type of personality, you're developing not only a good character off the ice, but on the ice as well. And he went on to kind of talk about how if he's confident off the ice, he's confident on the ice as well.
So here's my question about Askarov.
Sure.
And the tidbit that you got me to watch the Milwaukee Admirals this past season.
Sure.
Some of the things that I noticed were a lot of risk-taking,
mm-hmm.
some of which did not pay off.
Some did not work out.
That is why I feel like people have issues mm-hmm. with Askarov, because the talent's there.
Mm-hmm.
And you've seen elite-level goaltending with him at the AHL level. Did he seem a little bit more on the conservative end and play his cards a bit more wisely instead of getting burned like we saw him do occasionally in the AHL playoffs?
I think so, and that was a question I asked him, but he didn't really understand it, so the very simple phrasing I did was, why were you not able to finish out the postseason as Devin took over? And he didn't really even answer my question. He basically said it was another kind of secret, and then he went on to say something like, you know, I do my homework. And I was like, okay, I think I know what you mean. And I think what he was trying to get at was he needed to understand the game a little bit more in depth after he got tired. And, I mean, that's kind of what I saw from him physically too, playing those games, Junie. And I feel like for him, we will see him soon. We absolutely will see him soon in Nashville.
Do you think he gets called up at any time this year?
At the right point in time, it'll have to be similar to last season where someone like UC Saros or Kevin Lankinen and misses a game due to injury or being sick, something, a personal matter, and then he'll get called up. Askarov knew 2 days before he went to Montreal that he would play, and so he had to go through that very fast, had to get up to Canada. They were on a road trip, so for his sake, he got the debut, and after that, it was just his experience overall.
Now, again, we just got done talking about Yaroslav Askarov, the goaltender that everybody is anticipating to be the future goaltender
right.
of the Nashville Predators.
Right.
But I want to get into another guy.
Okay.
Another guy that took the Milwaukee Admirals by storm, and that was 2022 number one pick for the Nashville Predators. I believe he was 17th overall, which was Joakim Kemmel.
Yep.
He had a good showcase.
Yes, he did.
In the rookie
yes,
showcase.
He scored twice.
How did he look? And we were having the conversation of if we could see him mm-hmm. potentially getting called up sometime this year.
Yeah, I think so. And Connor, I'll get this queued up for you even just talking here. Kemmel, he has a wickedly good shot from the circle.
It's nasty.
He has got a great weapon that is already NHL ready and was before he even got to Milwaukee last year. And so I had asked Joakim Kemmel about how he was able to develop that and what it looked like to get to this point now. Here's what he had to say yesterday.
I think we've noticed you've got a good one-timer from the top of the circle there. Can you kind of walk me through what it was like to develop that for yourself?
Yeah, I mean, I just used to always shoot a one-timer, and when I was younger, I practiced it a lot with my dad, and it's just normal to me every time shooting after practice and stuff like that. So
it was more or less of Joakim Kemmel always aspiring to have that kind of shot. And we all do as kids. Everyone that's a hockey fan out there or has kids that play, they're even upstairs like me and my brothers were back in the day doing slap shots off the wall. My mom would hate us for that and watching the Preds games growing up. But
if only you knew how much paint cost.
I know. But anyway, that was something I noticed about him at practice yesterday, and we saw him utilize it in this showcase. We're going to continue to see that as well. So, Junie, you and I even said off the air, we could see him challenge for a spot. And I don't think he gets it out of training camp necessarily. He's going to challenge for a spot. He won't get it.
That's Trotz's MO. Yes. He doesn't want to bring the young guys up too soon.
Yes.
But what I'm telling you is this kid was a point per game player yes. as soon as he stepped in the AHL.
Right.
Not after a year of being there. As soon as he's put on the Admiral's uniform, mm-hmm. he's averaging a point per game. And we saw what that shot could do on the power play. And that's something from the Nashville Predators
right.
that we need to see as a team
right.
overall get better at.
And they need to utilize him. He will play either that wing or that left defensive side on the blue line. And more often times than not, he'll drop back in that circle, kind of like an Ovechkin does. And he'll sit in the circle and he'll find his spot. He'll get that pass. You'll know when he doesn't get the puck in the right spot because, A, his stick's going to break, or, B, you're going to hear it go off the glass or hit the wall and it's going to be loud as hell. So, for me, I don't hear those loud bangs very often. It's going on net, I would say, 90% of the time. He's got a really accurate shot. When it's in his wheelhouse, watch out. And I think that the Preds have a good dual threat. Talking about these two guys, they have a good dual threat for the future, Junie.
Definitely some good prospects that are coming up through the ranks. As they go through the preseason process, Nick is going to be all over the coverage, as the reporter constantly does. Coming up next, we are going to play the game that won me some cash money last weekend. And that is Price That Parlay. That is coming up next in the 7:15 and 7:30 time slots here. But before we go, tune into 102.5 and 106.3 of the game tomorrow for Vanderbilt football. The Commodores will kick off at 6 p.m. on the road against UNLV with pregame beginning at 4:30. You can hear all the coverage on 102.5 The Game app and at 102.5thegame.com. Coming up next, Price That Parlay. Riddle and reporter Junior Riddle, Nick Kieser here on 102.5 and 106.3 of the game.
Ready to win big?
Here comes the money.
Here we go.
It's time for Price That Parlay.
Straight cash, homie.
Here comes the money.
Now on Riddle and the Reporter.
It is that time. It is time for Price That Parlay here on Riddle and the Reporter. Junior Riddle, Nick Kieser, Connor Newt. We're all going to be involved in the game that saw me walk away with some cash money. To recap last week really quickly, Nick won and he chose to go with the first parlay. So that means I got the first pick in the draft. Nick got the first parlay and he chose $15, which was Titans +3, Raiders +3.5, Commanders -7, and Seahawks -4.5. And did not win. Then I had the pick of a $5 parlay, which I went with Texas State +13.5, Browns +1.5, Bears +1.5, and Giants +1.5. And that one just flat out did not hit with those final two picks. Then Nick had his $10 parlay where he had Colorado -2.5, Vikings -2.5, Vanderbilt +10, and Tulane +6.5. But the big winner, I got the $20 parlay. That's what he left me with. Eagles -4, Jaguars -4.5, 49ers -2.5, and MTSU Blue Raiders +20.5 on the road against Missouri. And I walked away with about $280 because of this game. So make sure that you are tuning in, because you, if you make our picks with us, you could possibly walk away with some money too. Now, Connor, do you have the coin ready? Because Nick is going to choose heads or tails,
mm-hmm.
and that is going to kick off this week's slate.
Here we go.
Of Price That Parlay.
Oh, I got the coin. It's not the quarter, but it's a nickel.
That's good enough. That's good enough.
Good enough.
All right, Keezer, are you ready?
Yep, I'm going to go tails.
Okay. It is heads.
Oh.
Damn.
You went tails never fails 2 weeks mm-hmm. in a row, and it has failed you.
It certainly has.
Twice.
That's okay.
All right. I went with the first pick of the draft mm-hmm. last week. This week, I'm going to go first parlay. I want to change things up a little bit. So all you right. will get the first pick of the draft. It'll be a snake draft. I will have picks 2 and 3, followed by him getting 4 and 5, me 6 and 7, and so on. So go ahead with the first pick of the draft.
Yes. So my first pick of this evening and this week is going to be the Commanders, +3.5, taking on the Broncos this week. So, Junie, I think that's a good place to start. Where do you go the next two?
That's a good one. You know what? Based off of our segment about 30 minutes ago, I'm going to go Vols -6 at Florida. I like that game. I think the Vols win big. I had it 38-21. I think they blow them out. And then with my second pick, with the third overall pick, I am going Colorado versus Colorado State, because you don't talk smack to prime time. And when you talk smack to prime time,
you put your sunglasses on,
you get smacked. You get smacked. So give me the Colorado Buffaloes -23.5. And if it was -30, -34, I would take it too. So give me the Colorado Buffaloes. They're going to wipe the floor with Colorado State. Nick Kieser, the fourth and fifth pick of the draft are yours. What are your next picks?
So I'm going to go green, go white this week, and I'm going Michigan State versus Washington. I'm taking Michigan State +16.5, so I'll start there. My back half, our alma mater is involved, but it's on the other side.
Oh, you're not. No, you're not.
I am. Ohio State is taking on Western Kentucky. Give me Ohio State -29.5.
You're not going with the tops?
I'm not.
Dude.
Big Red's going to be sad this week. I'm sorry.
Listen.
Blue Knighted.
Am I expecting Western to make this a close game? No. But when you give this offense 30 points, I think they cover the spread. I don't like that pick from you, Kieser. You're a traitor. You're a traitor. Okay.
We'll see.
Let's see what we got here. I got a list of a bunch of these. Let's see which one I like.
Literally, we have a list.
I'm going to go 49ers at Rams -7. Listen, the 49ers wiped the floor with my Steelers. They looked really good. I think the Rams got a little bit lucky. I'm going Niners. I think the Niners went big. And even when the Rams were good, the Niners still had their number. I'm going Niners.
Jump on that bandwagon, Judy.
I'm going Niners. All right, with my next pick, and I'm going to kind of pull a U, because I'm a diehard Louisville Cardinals fan.
I did this to you weeks ago, though.
And I'm going to go Indiana +10.5.
Okay.
I think the way Indiana competed in the Ohio State game, I think their defense is good. Jack Plummer, the quarterback from Louisville, I'm not a fan of him. I don't like this guy. I don't think he's that good. He's getting overhyped. I think Louisville wins, but I think Indiana covers the 10.5. I think it's a bit of a closer game. Give me Indiana +10.5.
Okay. All right, let's go over to the NFL here for picks 8 and 9 for myself. I'm going to go ahead and take the Jags. +3.5, taking on the Kansas City Chiefs. Should be a fun one between Trevor Lawrence and Patrick Mahomes, but I do like that Trevor Lawrence is in this part of his career early on against Patrick Mahomes, and I want to see what he's capable of doing. It's going to be a close one.
Playoff rematch, by the way.
It is. It is a big, big game. My ninth selection for our Price That Parlay draft is going to be, I'm taking the Lions, taking on the Seahawks.
Ooh.
The Lions are a -4.5 this week, Junie.
Listen, that line stifled me. I'm not going to lie to you.
I thought it would be higher than that, honestly.
Really?
A little bit.
I think the Seahawks are better than what they showed. Again, week one is really weird.
Yeah.
Week one,
not great.
A lot of weird, a lot of upsets. Again, I went 12-4. Humble brag, okay. But I went 12-4. But the Seahawks went into Detroit last year and beat them by 3, and now they're playing in Detroit again. That's a close one. I'm going to be looking into that one a little bit more, but I like the pick. All right, my next two picks. I think I'm going to go to the NFL as well.
All right.
The Bears. I picked them last week against the Packers. All right. I think because of the embarrassment and because the Bucs are a little bit fat and happy with their win at Minnesota, I think the Bears bounce back against the Bucs +2.5 on the road in Tampa. And for my next pick, do I want to go college or do I want to go NFL?
You got to go NFL here.
All right. You're right. I think I'm gonna. I'm not trying to search through the other page. I'm gonna go Patriots plus 3.5.
Okay.
Patriots plus 3.5 versus the Dolphins. I think the Dolphins kind of. I think they whipped out way too much of their offensive arsenal in week one to get a win against the Chargers. Going on the road to New England after they had a tough loss, I think that they looked pretty good against the Eagles. I think they played a pretty solid game.
Sure.
So give me the Patriots and Bill Belichick to slow down two in the Dolphins, plus 3.5, a home dog. I'm taking the Pats.
All right. And I know that Josh Allen was shaky a little bit. And when I mean a little bit, I hope he bounces back from how he looked. But give me the Bills minus 8.5 over the Raiders this week in Jimmy G. I'm convinced that they will have a much better showing against the Raiders. It's tough to have that same performance again if you're Josh Allen, but we'll see. Stephon Diggs, I thought, looked pretty good last time out as well. But I like the Bills in this matchup. I like that line personally. And so I'm going to go back to college for the 13th pick of the draft. I'm going to take our boy Connor Newt's Kentucky.
Ugh. Yeah, you are.
Over Akron. Kentucky is a minus 25.5 point favorite.
You realize Kentucky just barely got away with beating an FCS EKU.
Oh, I'm aware. But remember, the name of the game is Price That Parlay, and this could definitely skew something.
Oh, so you're trying to throw in a pick there to
you
get it.
You gotta go. You have to go somewhere. But look,
new strategy.
We'll be trying,
by Nick Keith.
We'd be trying to get someone else's team involved. So I gotta throw our Hilltoppers in there. I gotta throw in the Wildcats.
All right. So my final two picks, then you got the final one. I'm gonna go. I'm gonna go back to college. I'm gonna go with K-State at Mizzou, former Big 12 rivalry.
Yep.
States are bordering each other. Apparently, this game is already sold out for Mizzou, but give me K-State minus 3.5 on the road at Missouri. I just think K-State is a much better team than Missouri. Missouri struggled last week against MTSU. I would argue they should have lost that game.
They should have.
I think MTSU had a really good shot at winning that game. So I'm going to go with K-State. And then to wrap up my picks, I'll tell you what. I'm going to go to a division that I'm very familiar with.
That's what I was thinking.
I'm going to go Bengals over the Ravens. They're 3-point favorites at home. Give me the Bengals to win. I could see this pushing.
Mm-hmm.
I could see this being literally a 3-point game. I think the Bengals bounce back and they beat up on the Ravens. Ravens had a cupcake game against CJ Stroud and the Texans. Didn't look that great against them. I think the Bengals bounce back at home minus 3 against the Ravens.
For my fantasy team's sake, I sure hope so. But my final pick of the draft to round things out before we go into our next segment and do our parlays, I'm going to go to Penn State. They're going to be taking on Illinois this weekend, Junie. Give me Penn State minus 14.5 over the Fighting Illini.
Okay. Listen, Penn State's a good team. But Joe Rexroad, he's the Big Ten expert. I heard him in Pigskin Pick'em this morning.
Yes.
He said he's going with Illinois. So I don't know where to go on that one. I stayed away from that one. That one's a very weird line for me that I just didn't want to touch.
Got to have some fun, man.
But overall, good pick. Coming up next, we are going to get into part two of Price That Parlay. Connor is going to draw four of our games randomly at a time. And then since I elected to go with the first parlay, I get to choose the allotment between $5, $10, $15, or $20. Continuing Price That Parlay coming up next. You're listening to Riddle and Reporter here on 102.5 and 106.3 The Game.
Ready to win big?
Here comes the money.
Here we go.
It's time for Price That Parlay.
Straight cash, homie.
Here comes the money.
Now on Riddle and the Reporter.
Segment number two of Price That Parlay. It is now time. The picks are in 1 through 16. We're going to do four-leg parlays that are going to be at random, and we're going to price them 5, 10, 15, or 20. I get the first parlay. Connor's got the hat. He has got all the picks ready to go. Now, Connor, I know you had some struggle with FanDuel last week. But we had some practice. We had some reps. You are familiar with the website. You know how to get it done. Now, time neediness. Let's get our first parlay drawn. Let's go.
All right. Are you ready, Junie?
I am ready.
All right. Your first pick will be the New England Patriots plus the 3.
Ooh.
Your second pick, the Commanders plus the 3.5.
Oh, that's one of Nick's picks.
The third will be the 49ers minus the 7.
I like that. That's one of mine.
And the fourth will be the Kansas State Wildcats, the lesser Wildcats, minus 3.5.
All right. Okay. So I like this one. This is 3 out of my 4 picks. I got Keezer's Commanders plus 3.5. And also the Pats, I think, I'm pretty sure they're plus 3.5 as well.
They are. Nope, just plus 3.
Okay. All right. Either way, I am confident with this, but I'm not super confident. I'm going to go $15 on the parlay. So the $15 amount is now eliminated. Connor.
Yes,
sir. You got it in?
I do have it in.
Okay. That was actually pretty good. I was trying to elongate that for you.
Hey,
so that you can make sure you got it.
I appreciate that.
I do. Well, 3 NFL picks, that's easy. You just had to find Kansas State. All right. What are our odds, and what is the win total?
All right, sir. Your odds are 1174.
All right.
And your win total will be 176 and 10 cents.
176 and... Okay, that's not bad. That's not bad. All right. Let's move on to the second parlay. Draw 5 more for Keezer.
Yes, sir. Keezer, your number one pick will be my beloved, the greatest. Well, D-Mace, in his opinion.
You sold me there for a second.
The Michigan State Spartans, plus 16.5. Your second pick will be the Indiana Hoosiers, plus the 10.
Okay.
Your 10.5.
Ten and a half.
Yes.
Apologies. Number 3 will be the Lions minus the 4.5.
Okay.
And number 4 will be the Jags plus 3.5.
All right. I got 3 different things to choose from here. I'm going to go ahead. I feel like I need to make this kind of a safe thing.
This is also 3 of your picks and just one of mine. And you got one of my good ones.
I did. All right. I'm going to do $10 here. This will be mine. So
why $10 though?
Like I said, I want it to be a little bit of a safe thing for me personally. And like I said, kind of what I was just going at earlier was I'm not really too much into the betting. I enjoy picking games, Junie, but I'm going to just play it safe again once again this week.
This is not the game to play it safe.
But it's going to be fun.
I hit on the $20 parlay and made $280.
The Spartans, baby. The Spartans could do something.
All right. Okay, did that give you did you have enough time?
I did have enough time.
All right.
I'm speed running today.
I know. Listen, the practice on FanDuel is working.
Yes, it is.
All right, Keezer. Your odds are 11.59.
Okay.
And your win total will be 115.90.
I think that's fair.
That's not bad.
That's fair.
That's not good. Bad. That's okay, good. So now we are left with the $5 allotment and the $20 allotment.
Yes.
So I went with the 15, you went with the 10.
Yep.
So now somebody could either win a lot bigger or a lot less bigger. Okay.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. I'm up next. Next 4 picks. Connor.
Okay, Junie. This is ironic because I know you're a big cards man. And I'm a Wildcats man.
Oh, here we go.
And last time, when I said the greatest, you know what I was talking about. The pages got stuck together. It was a whole thing. But, Junie, your number one pick is my beloved Kentucky Wildcats minus the 25.5.
How is it your beloved? Your own school's helmet is on the table in front of
you. Hey, man.
Akron better suck. I hope Akron sucks. Because if Kentucky blows this, oh.
Hey, man, if I don't cheer for the BBN, my dad won't
feed
me.
Go on. Next picks.
All right, your number 2 will be the Bears plus the 2.5.
All right,
that's fair.
Number 3 is the Bills minus the 8.5.
Okay. Not bad.
And number 4 will be the Bengals minus the 3.
Damn Bengals.
All right. Okay. So because of the Kentucky spread... And the Bills spread is a little high. I think the Bills spread is iffy because the Bills are one of those teams, they either play you really close or they just knock you out. There's no in-between with the Bills. I'm not confident with this one. I'm not confident. I'm not going big. I'm going $5 just because I got Kentucky. And you did this on purpose.
I did.
He's salty.
I did.
You did this on purpose.
I have to be competitive at least a little bit.
You just said this didn't matter to you.
A little bit. I'm competitive a little bit.
Whatever.
Blue is a prettier color than red, by the way.
Okay.
I don't think I would necessarily argue with that. But it's not about colors. Oh, it's about teams. Goodness. Either way. All right. So that means, again, the final parlay of the game is going to be the $20 allotment. There's only four spreads left. What are the four remaining teams?
Do you want to hear your payout for your last?
Oh, yes.
He needs his odds.
What are my odds and payout? Because I really don't care. This one's not going to hit.
Your odds are 1264.
Okay.
Okay.
And your payout is a whopping $63.20. You could buy dinner with that. I mean.
Yeah. I mean, I think that's a night out on the town. That's a couple drinks up at the local pub. That's a beer or two.
Or you can go grab your beloved Caesar salad.
Oh, yes.
That's right.
Yes, I could.
Yeah.
You could buy your favorite producer some Zaxby's for lunch.
Get out of here.
You're not worth Zaxby's. I would eat KFC. You get KFC.
You look like a Popeyes guy to me.
I love Cane's. Popeyes is I'm a big Cane's. I would rep Cane's all the way. Yeah. Either way, we're not here to talk about chicken joints. What's the final parlay for Nick? $20 parlay. Final four remaining. What are those final four lines?
Keezer, your number one will be Coach Prime and the Colorado Buffaloes minus the 23.5.
Well, okay.
Lucky.
Your second will be the Rocky Top Vols minus the 6.5.
Woo!
Your third will be Ohio State minus 29.5.
All right. Chris Sanders-esque.
Chris Sanders University. And, of course, Mr. Irrelevant, Penn State, minus the 14.5.
That's actually not a bad parlay to wrap things out.
It's really not.
And you didn't even get to choose.
I did not.
You're left with the $20, kind of like I was last week.
Right.
And you got a decent parlay, all favorites.
Right. Right.
So the favorites just have to dominate. If the favorites dominate, which I don't think Ohio State is going to dominate as bad as people think. Yeah. I think this is one of the worst Ohio State teams we've seen in the last 10 years. Either way, it's still a pretty good parlay.
Yeah.
What are the odds and what's the payout?
Your odds, sir, are 1296.
Okay.
And your payout will be 259.20.
Ooh. All right.
All right.
Could go out big, possibly. We'll see.
So, I mean, just realistically, if Nick hits both of his, you will beat me this week. Mm-hmm. And you have the big heavy hitter.
Mm-hmm.
And I think this heavy hitter actually has a shot at hitting.
Yeah, I think so.
But since I went with the 5 and the 15, only $20 total, and you went with the 10 and the 20, $30 total, you have more invested, so you have more of an opportunity to win.
Correct.
Now, again, I am very much so ahead of you because my $20 parlay last week hit. How confident are you feeling that you can bounce back in the game this week?
I feel pretty good about it. And
even though you made an awful pick that you got lucky that wound up going to me.
Right. Well, that's okay. And
threw a wrench in the game.
We're not all going to get the picks that we want, and you have to kind of look at some other matchups. But I feel good, and hopefully this is something I come out more on top with. And for me personally, I would like I think the most intriguing matchup for me is the Ohio State game because, A, yes, it does involve our WKU Hilltoppers. But I do want to see them at least put some numbers up. I would like to see this work out in my favor. The Michigan State Sparties, I think, is another one for me I want to have go my way. So if I have a few wins out of this, Junie, I'll consider it a good testament to me picking so far.
So my total, if I were to hit on both of my parlays, would be $239.30, which is less than your entire $20 parlay. Now, if I do yours, $115.90. Plus $259.20, if you hit both of yours, $375
right under $400.
That's not bad. Hey, that's not bad at all.
It's not bad at all.
Oh, and by the way, Nick just proposed last week.
I did.
And she said yes. I don't know if you're still paying on that ring, buddy, but for like $375 go a long way on that.
Would still go a long way. I won't need it, which is good, but thank you for the congratulations. But yes, that will be really good for Kristen and I to use that, whether it's for date night or travel or maybe even getting a pet at some point.
Either way, that has been this week's edition of Price That Parlay. Listen, we said last week it was a little bit hectic, but we got our ducks in a row, and that is the game.
Good job, Connor.
I was the week one winner. I was the week one winner. Keezer has an opportunity to bounce back this week. I honestly kind of like Keezer's parlays a little bit better than mine. But either way, that has been this week's edition of Price That Parlay. Coming up next, we are going to put a bow on things. We're going to wrap up talking about the Titans, the Vols, and Vandy, and what we expect for Middle Tennessee football teams going forward this weekend. You're listening to Riddle and Reporter, Jenny Riddle, Nick Keezer here on 102.5 and 106.3 The Game. Final segment of Riddle and the Reporter, Jenny Riddle, Nick Keezer. Friday night, 6 to 8, new time for us, no longer Saturday morning. So pop in and join with us here as we wrap things up. I mean, we kind of already went through our Vols pick. I think we're all kind of riding with the Vols, minus 6.5 in Gainesville. Even though Connor's over there, it seems like he's eating a sour head when he nods his head like yeah. that. He obviously clearly hates Tennessee, being a Kentucky fan that he is. But
blood bleeds blue, baby.
Yeah, either way. Regardless. But I want to kind of get into our picks for Vandy and Tennessee because we haven't given our official picks on that. So let's start with Vandy. Vandy is heading over to UNLV in Las Vegas, and they are 5.5-point favorites against UNLV. Where are we going with Vandy on the road after taking a tough loss at Wake Forest?
I think after the tough loss, and once again last week, they had to wait through a lightning delay and all the bad weather that was around that area. So hopefully they get better bang for their buck in terms of getting out on the field on time. So that might be helpful too. But I do want to take Vanderbilt here confidently. Last week, I was not confident taking them. I did pick Wake Forest last week on numerous occasions talking about the contest, Junie. And so I feel like this time around, AJ Swan, like I had kind of talked about earlier, was he needs to feel confident, go through his plays with that confidence that he has. He knows that he commands this offense well. And I think that, you know, it was great insight to hear from the perspective that you got from someone that was at UNLV. And so I like that just aspect, thinking in terms of they're just like their quarterback is someone that, you know, he's all right. He's not anything too special. And I think for Vanderbilt's defense, this would be good for them to bounce back as well, because they had a really tough outing last week against the Demon Deacons. And so I'm going to go Vanderbilt here. It'll be a fun matchup. And so we'll see how the SEC team does, and can they bounce back after last week?
I'm going to go with Vanderbilt as well. I just think if UNLV has a bad secondary, I don't like their quarterback play as well. I just think Vanderbilt's going to put up too many points against UNLV, quite frankly. Will Shepard has been a man among boys as a receiver. I really like what he has brought. And the freshman, the local kid, London Humphreys, made another big play, had a huge game against Wake Forest. I'm going Vandy, and I think Vandy wins by about a touchdown, maybe about 10 points. UNLV is very competitive. They got a good front seven, but their secondary is weak. And again, I just don't think they're going to put up much points. But the big game of the weekend, and I really kind of want to dive into this because there have been, you know, some people on our station that have been very bullish that they think the Titans are going to bounce back in a big way against the Chargers. And then there's others who believe that the Chargers are just going to be way too much and that this is a bad matchup for the Titans. So where are you going? Titans are plus 2.5 at home against the Los Angeles Chargers. Where are we going with this one, Keezer?
Look, I'm one of the bullish people on the station here for sure, and it's not something that I'm too confident in saying, although I would like to see them make the turnaround. I do pick the Titans in this matchup. Reason for it is, and I have not really talked about this whatsoever that I've kept to myself that I've liked. Nick Folk had a great game last week.
He did.
If he is put in any situation for the Titans to score any points, which he got all of last week, I feel great that if they have great drives, if they have the better opportunities to score and go down in the end zone, they can have missed trips. He can still come up and score. I feel good about it because then they know in the back of their minds, okay, we're here, we've been here, we've done this, let's finish our drives now this week. And so my called shot that I will even stick to on this program is that D-Hop will catch the first Titans touchdown this year. And this is not going to be part of our program, but this morning I said that D-Hop would get at least 115 yards receiving, having a big game.
115 yards.
Yes.
So here's where I'm at with this matchup. I think the way the Dolphins played against the Chargers, I think that their offense was just spectacular.
Yeah.
And when I went back and I watched the film, the biggest takeaway that I had was not necessarily that the Chargers' defense was inept.
Mm-hmm.
It was more of Mike McDaniels and the way that he was scheming open.
Oh, my gosh.
The talent of Tyreek Hill, the motions. I don't know if you saw this clip roaming around Twitter, but I did. When they would throw him in motion, and I saw this later on the film breakdown as well, they would put him in motion, and he would just run a different kind of route, a quick out, a wheel route up the sideline, a crossing route over the middle. Like, he was constantly moving around.
Mm-hmm.
And with him and Jalen Waddle, I mean, this is one of the better 1-2 tandems at wide receiver. I felt like it was more of the Dolphins on offense than what the Chargers were lacking on defense. Now,
I think so.
If Joey Bosa and Eric Kendricks are not playing on the defensive side of the ball, then this could be a bit of a different discussion. But I think the Chargers' defense is still pretty solid. And what Justin Herbert did against what I think is a pretty good Miami defense, I think that was the matchup to watch for.
Right.
These receivers for the Chargers are just going to be too much. And the stat that I had that I brought out in the offseason that I've continually brought up, and unfortunately I do due to injury, when this Titans team does not have Amani Hooker and Christian Fulton.
Yeah, that's tough.
They average letting up 70 more passing yards a game and 3 more points. I think that's what's going to be the difference.
I think so.
I think these receivers are already a mismatch for this secondary that didn't look that great last week. And without those two guys, I think it's going to be a bit even worse. So I'm going to go Chargers 24, Titans 17. I think they keep it close. I just think the Chargers' offense is too much. And until the Titans put out a better offensive performance, and until I see Ryan Tannehill look better than what he did, I think he's going to.
Sure.
Granted, he's going to look better. That was awful what we saw against the Saints. But until I see significant improvement, I'm riding with the Chargers. I just think they're too much.
I think you have a good point. Keenan Allen looked pretty good last week as well. And, I mean, even though Eckler is probably not going to play, they still have Joshua Kelly.
Eckler's doubtful.
And, you know, Joey Bosa is questionable as well. So we'll see what they end up looking like. And, you know, when we previewed the Chargers, you know, we even talked about a little bit of Derwin James. You know, they've also got Khalil Mack is over there as well. So, look, the defense could be night and day compared to what they saw against the Saints. The Saints, I feel like, have a better defense, Junie, but at the end of the day, the secondaries are going to be challenged. The ball is going to go down the field. I feel like we will see a lot of electric plays this Sunday at the home opener. So it's going to be a fun one, and hopefully we see Derrick Henry pop off with some big home run runs. And, you know, Ryan Tannehill, for his sake, and I know that the first bad passes that he has, he's going to get booed. Those boo birds are going to come down on him. But he needs to block out the noise no matter what happens on Sunday. And so I don't know what to really say in terms of exactly what Tannehill will do. But if he throws 2 or 3 picks like he did last week, we got some serious problems, and I don't think it comes with Tim Kelly, and it doesn't come with Mike Vrabel. It comes back on them. They're calling the plays, and they're coaching them, but Tannehill is not in the right headspace. That will be the story all week long next week if he has a poor performance again.
See, my prediction for this game is going to be that the Titans don't keep the ball in Tannehill's game. I mean, you're talking about I'll have to look it up exactly, but I believe he had more than 40 attempts.
Really?
When you have more than 40 attempts, I just think that's a recipe for failure. I mean, Ryan Tannehill is not the quarterback that is going to lead this team to success by consistently passing the ball. Okay, I'm sorry. He had 34 attempts.
Okay.
I think where they want him to be is to have him under 30.
Yeah.
That 25 to 30 attempts is where he needs to be. And the fact that Derrick Henry only got 15 carries.
Yeah.
Derrick Henry needs to get more like 25.
That's sad.
Carries.
He needs to run the ball more.
The way I see it, I think that they get back to their offense identity. I think this offense is going to be a lot more cleaned up. But again, at the end of the day, on the defensive side, the secondary is where they're hurting, and I think Herbert is just going to be too much with these star-studded wide receivers that they have. But, hey, that is all the time that we have today. Thank you for tuning in to Riddle and the Reporter here on its new time every Friday from 6 to 8. That is it. Thank you all for tuning in. Enjoy a great weekend of football. I'm Junior Riddle. That's Nick Kieser. Connor Newt behind the glass. Have a great weekend. We'll be back next Friday.